tonight we will discuss hope. Our key ingredient tonight is just about hope. Everyone has some kind of hope that their life will be worthwhile. Everyone has some kind of hope that they're going to experience something that's significant in their life. So you have to analyze what is the basis of your hopes. Are your hopes well-founded, or are they just a habit that has been instilled in you by your cultural upbringing? Or has your body dictated you certain hopes that for your mind built up? What is it that you long for? Certainly everyone is longing for something. Now what is it? You want contentment, you want peace, you want appreciation, satisfied feeling. Can these things be found in Jesus? Can you find satisfaction, contentment, and peace in Jesus? Or are you merely grasping at fleeting appearances of peace, contentment, satisfaction? I'd like to give you an example. Grabbing smoke, seated around a campfire, and try to catch some smoke in your hand. Every time you grab the smoke and open your hand, you look and see what's there. Nothing there. You did see some smoke. Try to grab it and appreciate your catch. Well, that is life with general happiness. You grab and you grab and you grab and you grab. And you never come up with anything substantial. The only result is that you become tired and fatigued, just like if you spent all night grabbing smoke. And as I was speaking a few nights ago, maybe it was last night, even these days when persons reach 19 and 20, they already have a fatigue, you know, because they're trying to squeeze water out of a stone. They're trying to squeeze material existence and derive some satisfaction. Very exhausting, very frustrated. Now to death. We try to improve ourselves in various material ways. I'm sure you've all tried to improve yourself materially. Do things to improve your strength, go to the gym and work out. Do things to improve your looks, makeup, new stylish clothes, the right colors. Or, you know, and, you know, that'll improve my life. Maybe you should go get some university learning. That may do it. Something. Change jobs. Change partners. Move somewhere else. Travel somewhere else. Maybe that'll do it. You try all these things. Looking for something in front of us. Peace, contentment, satisfaction. As the men get older, they finally start thinking, well, maybe I should settle down. That'll do it. And as the ladies get older, they start thinking, well, maybe I should have a kid. That'll do it. In this way, there's always something we want to try. Because we just can't seem to get what we want. We try to fool ourselves. That's all right. I'm all right. Maybe not better than anybody else, but certainly not worse. Yeah, I've had my tough times, but I've also had a few good moments. I'm sure that I'll be doing a few things right in my life. I'll get some more good moments. Although I know I have to work very hard. I don't mind, because it's all part of my career. And this way, we drift on and on and on. And we have these hopes. We all know what those kind of hopes are. We discussed some of them last night. Maybe I'll find true love one day. A magic person will end all my frustration. Just by looking in that person's eyes, I'll come alive inside. I'm sure there's that person out there. Maybe that will. Or somehow that I'll make my mark on the world. I'll become famous for something. That will be great. This way, you have to have some hope that by doing something, we're going to get some kind of fulfillment. Even if it's just by dressing a certain way, or buying a new pair of shoes, somewhere or other there has to be some hope that you're going to be fulfilled. Travel. That'll add to me all the things I'm missing. How can you live without hope? But what is it that we have hope in? We have hopes for the body and mind. That is our problem. We know nothing about hope for the spirit soul. So what is the result of materialistic hopes? We can read about that in the 15th chapter of the Gita. Asha-pasha-shapaya-bhadra, Sanskrit, meaning bound by a network of false hopes. It's bad enough to be bound by a network of anything, but to be bound by a network of false hopes. Very painful condition. Asha, asha, satire, vrata, kama, krodha, parayana. Bound by a network of hundreds of thousands of desires. And absorbed in lust and anger. Everyone knows what it's like to absorb in lust and anger. I've got to have it. I've got to have it. I want this. And when you don't get it, you get angry. And the funny thing is, even if you get it, you get angry. Have you noticed that? If you actually get what you want, still you get angry. Now why is that? Who knows? But it's what you wanted. But you wanted it. If you don't know who you are, that means you don't know what you want. Why is it you want something better? Because what you have doesn't satisfy you. And the next thing that you want won't satisfy you either. We always think that we add to my existence. We always feel like we're missing something, like there's a lack. This is the problem. We cannot be self-sufficient because we have this feeling that there's a lack. I need to add something to me from the outside. Whether it's a new pair of shoes, or a new hairstyle, a new woman or a new man, a child. Let me add to me. In that way, I'll feel complete.
Sometimes you wonder,
why is it that I don't get everything so well?
Don't people notice me?
Am I doing the right thing so people will notice me?
You can read a book, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Doesn't satisfy you, though, does it?
I remember, as a little kid. How old?
My father was always telling me, no, you gotta, don't just be a spectator in life, you gotta get into it, you know, and talk to people, and, you know, be a mover and a shaker, you know.
So, I was 11 years old, I used to read so many things. I saw this book by Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
I said, oh, well, maybe this is what Dad's talking about. I'll check it out.
So, I read it, you know, and he's given all these techniques basically to how to make people think that you care about them.
I recognize that even as an 11-year-old. I figured, well, I'll have some fun. I'll just try out these techniques on people, you know.
But, you know, one of the Dale Carnegie techniques is that, first of all, you always remember the person's name, and secondly, you always remember something about them special they do and compliment them.
So I started trying.
One of my father's friends was his hobby was playing the organ.
Such a gorgeous house.
So the next time I saw him, I said, no, I'd really love to have organ lessons.
Yeah, gravity fell over.
Wow, yes.
You're really interested, I'm sure you are.
Yes,
like every serious young man is interested in playing the organ.
Come, let me show you.
And then my father was watching, and he was,
very good.
Very good, you know.
And then I meet another adult. I was 11-year-old kid. I meet another adult, and I remember something about, you're an insurance salesman. You know, I'm really curious about the world of insurance. It sounds pretty exciting.
Oh, you look at my father. You smart young lad you have there.
Yes, insurance is a very fascinating field, my boy.
Well,
I was just having everybody on, but they took it so seriously, and I said, oh,
that intelligent young boy, he's really interested in the right things, you know.
And I saw how easy it was to press people's buttons, you know.
I was just doing it to have a laugh. I didn't take it seriously.
And I could see this wouldn't satisfy anybody.
I can also see that people are so foolish.
You just talk anything about what they're doing and they become so grateful to you. They're so starved for appreciation and attention. But anyway, I played around with that, those concepts for about a week.
What are we going to do to achieve our hopes? You can't live without hope.
What are you going to do?
What actually are you waiting for? What's supposed to drop on you from out of the blue?
When you think about it, so much of our hopes are based on our senses.
We're hoping our senses are going to have some good stimulation.
The mind is also a sense.
So we're hoping the mind is going to feel some good things, and the body senses are going to feel some good things.
And we're hoping people will talk about us nicely and to hear.
We're hoping that we'll become the center of attraction.
Suppose one day you woke up, you walk out in the street, and you heard all the neighbors talking about you, how important you are.
What would you think?
Wow, suddenly the world is a better place.
Just imagine.
Or you went to your job or your school, and everyone's talking about you. pretty amazing, you know? I mean, fantastic. You just, you know, be on a cloud. How long is that? Who's satisfied by it? Not you. Just the idea of it first really knocks you out. Everybody's talking about you. You become the center of the draft. But after a while, you realize it was just superficial. While I was on the airplane, I just, where was I coming from? Somewhere I saw, oh, must have been up there. They had, you know, just some, I saw the front of a newspaper. They had some article about this famous model from England, Naomi Campbell or something like that.
Supposed to be that.
Actually, yeah, I know. Anyway, like so many famous persons, she's had a drug problem and one newspaper printed all about it, sued and stuff like that.
So,
you know, they had a picture of her looking real slinky. And then, you know, in the article, you know, after the court case, she was saying, well, you know, one day I hope just to have a house with you. You see? Someone with a house and kids, a woman with a house and kids thinks, boy, I wish I could be Naomi Campbell. And the only Campbell thinks, oh, one day I'll have a house and kids. Those who have kids are thinking, boy, if I could have a figure like Naomi Campbell. Well, what does Naomi Campbell think? One day I'd like to be pregnant and have a few kids. Does wonders for your figure, I can say. So this is the way it is. When are we going to wake up and understand we cannot be materially fulfilled? When are we going to wake up? We have these hopes. Asha Pasha, Shatara Padam. Bound by a network of hundreds of thousands of desires. I'm hoping. Hoping for what? As long as you identify with the body and mind, you hope to be frustrated. To see you. So catch yourself hoping for material happiness. I wish that. I wish that. I wish my body would be. I wish everyone was glorifying me. I wish that there was comfort all around me. Of course, if you're in a relationship, you say, I wish my partner would do whatever I wanted. I wish. I can't know you guys can not have a remote control in that. That's the button that you press every one. And vice versa. So these are the hopes. Now, are these hopes justified? Is anyone justified having material hopes? Body, are you the mind, or are you something else? Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that you're not the body or mind, therefore material things, whether gross or subtle or psychic, whatever, It won't satisfy you. Plain and simple. Now, when you understand your identity of spirit soul, part of Krishna, supreme soul, then what you should do becomes obvious. You try to satisfy Krishna, not a master moving soul, because you're part of Krishna. Think of all the things you've done to satisfy yourself. When you were about to do something that you really thought was going to satisfy you, you were happy, weren't you? Weren't you? Yeah. This is for me. For my senses. You were hoping and anticipating and, you know, made you happy. Yeah, my senses. For me. Right? Yeah, of course. I know something everyone can remember. Almost everyone. Remember when you went to a fancy restaurant and you sit down at the table, you know, it's kind of like a mood of excitement, you know, when the waiter brings the menu.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. I wonder what that tastes like. And, oh, look at this. What do you think, Tom? What do you have? And, oh, roast crab legs. Oh.
You don't have crabs here, but you have crabs?
Yeah. Yes. Roast crab legs.
You don't have lobster. Huh?
Roast crab legs. Look at that. Look at the oh, what does that smell
like? You know, you've seen the restaurant scene. It's kind of like an excitement in the air. People sit down at the table, you know. It's like someone is going to serve your senses. Even though you're paying for it. The whole point is that someone's serving your senses. The waiter comes, you know. I guess if you're really cool, you pretend to know what year and kind of wine you want, you know? You impress the other person. You have such 1935. It's all an ego thing, right?
I could never figure out
wine tasting, or,
you know, it seems like I thought it must all be a mental thing, isn't it?
You bomb the
safety. You ever figured it out?
You should pick up the glass.
You know, it's part of it. You know, you're supposed to smell it, you know.
So these restaurants have this atmosphere of excitement, material excitement, illusory excitement, because everyone is sitting down to have their senses. That's what it's all about. And for everyone's happy. When you go to a restaurant, for example, there's no doubt what the central activity is. You are there to have your senses served, and you evaluate the whole restaurant in terms of that. Okay, how are they going to satisfy our senses? Is the waiter properly slavish? How is the tablecloth? How are the utensils? Because you're paying for it. And of course, how is the food? How is the ambience? How will it sound when you recommend the place to your friends? You know, it's all part of it. From the old days.
Oh, Daddy, we must tell our friends about this. The food is just so
wonderful. Oh, yes, Tracy. I mean, I really enjoyed the, look.
This is how it goes, you know? You should be much. Do you know who loved this place?
And you really get happy because you know someone who is love having their senses gratified at this place. So you feel like you've done a great welfare deed, a great act of charity by turning on someone to a place where you got good sense gratification. And this is where people get these false, enthusiastic feelings. When I was a young kid, I used to hear my mother talking to her girlfriend. She gets so elated talking to her mother.
You know, when I was walking by, passing such department store, oh, I saw some shoes, and I'm there. Oh, really? Oh, they were so nice. And the price was so right. Oh, really?
I mean, everyone gets all excited, and, you know. The hope, you know. I reminded my mother how after church, she and her girlfriend used to all put their kids on the bus and go to the old department section of the city, where all the department stores were around. Five years old, six brothers, five, four, five. So, her girlfriend would have 30 kids, and they would just go window shopping on a Sunday afternoon. The stores are closed, you know, at the church. They just go from window to window. I still remember their words.
Oh, that's it. Fabulous! Absolutely fabulous! Oh, girl, look at that one!
I remember I was 5 years old. Oh, I'm going to go home and watch the baseball game. And mother's tripping out on these dresses in the window. You know, we have to tag along. I just reminded my mother about that last year. I can remember these things.
So, hope for material happiness. That's what it's all about. If you can see through this mirage, you'll save yourself a lot of trouble.
There's no question of self-actualization as long as you have these hopes for material fulfillment. The smarter you wake up and realize it's not going to happen, you save yourself a lot of trouble. What do you think? Yeah. Is that what you want, temporary happiness? Suppose you're walking down the street, someone says to you, hey, we got some temporary happiness for you. No one in their right mind wants temporary happiness, but people aren't in their right mind. Now, what are you going to do in life? If you take away all your material hopes, what's left? You'll die without any kind of hope. So the point of Krishna consciousness is to have hopes for Krishna's life. But you see, we're such misers, and we're so bitter and selfish. We think, well, if there's no hope for my senses, there'll be no hope for anyone. Everything will be equal. Nothing for me and nothing for them. No one gets anything. So therefore, we may have become smart enough to understand there's no material hope for us, but then we think, well, then no one's going to get anything. Including this Krishna. He's not getting anything. I didn't get it, so why should he get it? And you just become a voidist or a nihilist. Everything is just empty. Everything is just rotten. Everything is just an illusion. You can't live like that. You got to try to enjoy the same kind of thing. So we don't want to have material hopes, nor do we simply want to be materially hopeless. We want to have conviction and experience that Krishna is in front of you. You should hope for Krishna's pleasure. This is an infallible enjoyment. He never fails at any time. That's why he was very angry. We try to imitate Krishna by our behavior in the material world. Because Krishna's enjoyment is infallible. He never fails at enjoyment. That is the real meaning of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything Krishna does, he enjoys unlimitedly. We can never say that about ourselves. So, bhakti yoga means to train the devotee to have hopes for Krishna's pleasure. And those hopes are never disappointed. Krishna always enjoys. Bhakti yoga means to train your desires so that you desire Krishna's happiness. That will be your grace. But it's hard to imagine how by hoping for someone else's happiness you're going to be satisfied. Particularly many of you have had relationships before in which you try to please the other person and you got kicked in the face or rejected or just wasn't as satisfying as you thought. No matter what you did, the other person couldn't appreciate or couldn't really be satisfied. So you get kind of cynical. Lots of scar tissue on the heart, so to speak. So therefore, you're very cautious about trying to serve Krishna's pleasure. Because you think, I'll get hurt again. I'll give everything. I won't get anything equal in return. That's why knowledge of Krishna is required, so that you understand by serving Krishna you're never going to lose it. You can't lose by serving Krishna. So self-actualization means to understand that Krishna is the self of all selves. You actually like yourself because at the root of yourself is Krishna. You're part of Krishna. But if you don't know Krishna, you won't be able to understand yourself and why you have desires. Therefore, when you say you hope for self-actualization, that means you are hoping to understand this. Then you'll save so much trouble. Instead of scratching the pavement, trying to find some material happiness. Let him try to understand Krishna. And you'll be happy hoping for Krishna's pleasure. Because your hopes will always be fulfilled. Krishna always enjoys. But it's hard for us to think, how can I serve Krishna's pleasure? What about me? Will I get recognition? Will I get a cut of the action? It has to be something for me. This is the great mystery of bhakti yoga. How by simply satisfying Krishna, everything else is taken care of. The greatest mystery. So you should learn more about Krishna. Make your brain come alive with Krishna conscious knowledge. Of course, what else are you going to do? You try working, right? You meet people who talk about things. You like to meet people and talk about things, but you must find the supreme person and talk. When you read Bhagavad Gita, you're hearing the talking of the supreme person. Yes, everyone likes to meet people and hear. Why not meet the best person and hear? by reading Krishna's words in Bhagavad Gita, you're hearing from the best person. Why should we hear from temporary persons and ignore hearing from the eternal person who's the source of all the other persons? Well, I don't know if that's true. But you also don't know if it's, that it's not true. How many people do you meet who tell you, I am the source of everything? Right. So that's where automatically that narrows down the field in terms of who to listen to. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, he's the source of everything. Now, you should find out for yourself whether Krishna's making an outlandish claim or whether there's basis for what Krishna says. You can go around talking to this one, talking to that one, but you must find the supreme person and listen.
No, not if you read it page by page from the beginning.
What do you jump around? Okay. Very good, you're taking it that way. So go on. Gradually your brain will become more and more purified. And it'll start to flow. Resistance, you're resisting. I'll tell you how to read Bhagavad Gita. You just open it in the beginning and you pray to Krishna. All right, Krishna. I don't want to rebel against you. I'm going to give you a fair go. I'm just going to relax. I'm just going to read this book without fighting it. Why don't you do that? Krishna is non-different from his book. When you read Bhagavad Gita, you are directly associated with Krishna. So, just take Bhagavad Gita in your hand and you pray to Krishna. I don't know anything about you, Krishna. I'm going to give you a fair go. I'm not going to fight back. I'm not going to try to prove how smart I am. This is read this book. Try it. And you'll find that your reading rate increases. It's slow when you try to fight back. I know how to do it. I talk to my people. You know what I mean? So we're talking about hope. Nectar devotion deals with pure hope. The hope that you'll give pleasure to Krishna. These are the hope. Hoping to render service. That is the real meaning of life, the real core of life. The hope to satisfy. Those who have such hopes are very noble. Any questions? Well, you always have to be associated with somebody. You have to find the best person to associate with. You attach yourself to the association of saintly persons, and you detach yourself from the association
those who are absorbed in material existence.
Oh, yes.
Certainly. You have to have some associates.
But, you know, when someone goes to on their OE, you look for some mates to hang out with, right?
Well, I
become terrifyingly lonely. Similarly, in your quest to be Krishna conscious, you look for your Krishna conscious person, your friendship.
The more you start to chant Hare Krishna with attention, the more the spiritual longings will develop in your heart. By hearing about Krishna, you develop desire to serve Krishna.
Krishna consciousness needs to replace the material desires that create them. Krishna consciousness doesn't even become an infant before it. You become full of the right kind of desire. Desire that's wonderful to have, we haven't talked about much, is the desire to live for the purpose of giving Krishna consciousness to others. Simply desire that. Let everyone become Krishna conscious. Let me do my best to give Krishna to each person. For myself, I don't have any problems because I'm already serving Krishna. But I'm simply concerned with everybody else. They're suffering so much, isn't it? Don't you think people have suffered enough? They need your help.
Your soul means you engage in devotional service. Doesn't mean inactivity. What does the spirit soul do? The spirit soul engages in service to the supreme soul, and this may taste the nectar of devotion. Can you taste that nectar of devotion in material existence? Matter doesn't give you the nectar that you want. Only Krishna can give you the taste that will actually satisfy you. Therefore, a devotee is always hearing about Krishna, glorifying Krishna. Teaching others about Krishna, just like Prahlad Maharaj said, my only concern is for these suffering. They're making elaborate plans. Elaborate plans to fulfill their hopes. But what are those hopes? These hopes, these false hopes are binding them. You're like caught in a network of these hopes, like a fish caught in a big net. They're caught. Hopes. Now, who has the determination and integrity to get out? You see, one problem is because this present day and age is so debilitating, most people don't have integrity. Even about themselves. They can't even be straight up and down with themselves. You know what I mean? It's like they just mistreat themselves. They refuse to do the right thing for themselves. They're so deceitful that they even deceive themselves. That's how unfortunate things are today. People like to fool themselves, to live in a world of pretending. Krishna consciousness means to honestly face yourself and understand how you can make spiritual advancement, how you can please Krishna. Just like you, Allison, for example. If you really wanted to be true to your best interests, what would you do? If you wanted to stop mucking around and really be true to your best interest, what would you do? Well, then do it. Yeah. But let's stop it. Like what? Yeah. Well, if you follow the process, you'll get the experience as you're reading. You want to be experienced? Then you take up the techniques of Bhakti Yoga. You'll get the experience. What's the difficulty? Do you have to walk into the laboratory? Can't stand outside and ask, where's the experience? You want to experience Krishna? Chant Hare Krishna. Find out for yourself. Come tell us about it. Thank you. They don't have to be. There's material sound and there's spiritual sound. When you're chanting Hare Krishna, you're not indulging in material sound. Yeah. Just like you have a spirit soul, similarly there is spiritual sound. Try it. Have some longing, some aspiration to make the best of yourself. Otherwise, what's going to happen? Another year is going to drag by, right? You're going to drag yourself through another year, right? Wishing and hoping. Right? Wishing, hoping, working and studying, right? That's all it's going to be. That's all that your life's going to be about. And finally you'll get frustrated and you'll decide, well, I've got to spend my life, I've got to pretend I'm going to spend my life with somebody, so, all right, why not this one? What the heck? Right? What the heck? Let's pretend. Right? Oh. Finally you just get frustrated of waiting and doubting and mistrusting and, oh, just somebody. In this way you're not treating yourself in a way that honors your highest aspirations. And then you'll never be content with yourself. I remember when I was 22, that was one thing I did right. When I was 22, I told myself, I want to live so I have no regrets. You know what I mean? I said, I don't want to become 50 and 60 and regret, oh, I should have taken the other path. So I was 22, I decided, I got to figure it all out right now. So I don't want to have any regrets. I thought, I better make my move now, because otherwise I'll be swept away. So many temporary responsibilities. So you have to treat yourself with some dignity and respect. Honor your aspirations for the highest thing. Otherwise, how will you be able to grow old in peace, knowing that you have so many regrets, you should have taken so many other paths? You'll seal off a part of yourself if you do like that. Because there's so many regrets, or such a good path. You just seal off your heart. And then you'll perpetuate the same problem. You'll have children who they'll grow up the same way, sealing off their hearts after a while, participating in robot-like existence. Therefore, I advise everyone to follow your highest aspiration. Time is moving on. Okay. say you want to be all you can be. Well, if you won't do that, acting as the body or the mind, those things are limited and frustrating. You want to be all that you can be? Take to seriously chanting Hare Krishna. You'll get the experience. Then you'll be inspired to relinquish the negative activities if you have it. And that will really make your spiritual experience powerful. So why don't you see for yourself? Do you have anything better to do for the next few months?
No.
You working? What do you do? Bank? So you do your job, right? What else? More work. More than your job, you do outside work too? What do you meditate on? Everybody's meditating on something, but when you say you meditate, what do you meditate on? You say you meditate. Oh. On what? Focusing on? On? Really? That's a good way out. So why don't you start to meditate on the Hare Krishna mantra? And you will be successful, without a doubt. You'll see all that there is to be seen. You'll experience. You're meant for better things. Now, are you going to do yourself justice? That's what you have to decide. Chant Hare Krishna, you read Bhagavad Gita, your life will become all that you could want and more. Without a doubt. Become a saintly person who can help others. That's what you want. We need camaraderie for fighting illusion. That's what this place offers. It's like in the movie Matrix, you know, like a team for fighting the illusion. Do or die team. So here you find a guru yoga, you find camaraderie for fighting illusion. You're intrigued because you can look at these ladies here, you can see they're nobody's fool. Right? Right? You know what it's like in material life, you know? Everybody's somebody's fool, right? I always like to tell them, you see, these ladies here, they can't be bought. Materialistic ladies, they always have their price, you know? But these ladies can't be bought off. That's what intrigues you. Because you know in the material world everyone has their price, right? And you're not naive, you're a working lady, you know about all this stuff. When people get bored or frustrated, they'll basically do anything. You probably, when you probably on a Monday after a weekend, some of your lady friends at work, they probably say, well, I know I shouldn't have what I did the weekend, but you know, right? Gotta do something, right? Yeah, I know better, but you know, well, we're not saints, so thanks. You are who you associate with. Now associate with saintly persons and become saintly. Realize your highest aspirations. What are you going to lose? How old are you now? 23. I was 22. Make a 6-month experiment. Is that too much? Try Krishna consciousness fully for 6 months. And then if you don't like it, you can drop it. I won't say anything, okay? Alright? Is it a deal? You can ask some of these ladies here. It's easy. Certain things you do, certain things you don't do. Try it for 6 months. Can you afford 6 months out of your life? I mean, you probably spent 6 months studying some new programming language or something, right? Are you Microsoft certified? How long does that take to study? So how, 6 months, a year? Well, try for your Krishna certification, 6 months. Just think, if you win, you win big, don't you? Huh? So have a sense of adventure. Or you think, well, maybe you might lose, right? But you're already losing, so there's nothing new. But if you win big. You've given yourself the best, and then you can give others the best. What do you think? Throw the dice. Just think, you don't have to waste your time hearing, you know, all the lies of the men. To be immune to all that. You have better things to do. You don't have to hope that there's something good on television. What a horrible feeling. So I hope there's something good on TV tonight. That means your human life has sunk down to such a miserable level. I hope there's something good on TV. You ever used to say that, Daniel? Says, oh, let's see if there's something good on TV.
Oh, definitely.
I just shudder thinking about that. You know, let's see if there's something good on TV. What you're actually saying is, we don't have it together. We're totally dull to ourselves. But let's see if there's something good on TV. Or, I wonder if there's a good movie this weekend.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea. Yeah, that's. You know, one of my friends at work told me that such and such movie, I mean, not many people know about it. And it's really good.
All the ways people waste their time rather than becoming Krishna conscious. We need a program for change. a program for reviving our original Krishna consciousness. A positive and a negative program, simultaneously. Get rid of the negatives, increase the positives. Okay? So you want to know what to do? Carrie and Di and Jen, they can help you. How to be a real liberated woman. Then you'll be at peace with yourself. Otherwise, it's going to be another wasted year. Wishing and hoping and frustration and self-delusion, right? And then you begin to wonder, well, maybe there's something wrong with me. Hey, why can't I just get out there and enjoy like everybody else, right? Who do I think I am? I'm no saint, so. Enough of thinking about everything. I'm just going to get out there and just do it. Then you're really far gone. So we don't want you all to get to the stage of becoming frustrated that you have these higher aspirations. We want to show you how you can realize your highest ambitions about yourself. It is possible. Especially in good association. Good association makes everything possible. All right. Thank you very much. Everyone can go to dinner.